It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 354 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is a special one as I get to talk with artist John McCrae, who does a lot of things in comics, as I discuss with him. But he's currently working on a great Image book called Dead Rabbit. And it's a crime noir story with all kinds of good things going on. Strong relationships, amazing action, just wonderful spellbinding things that make it a real page-turner. We talk about the various characters, the situation that they're in, and how this kind of fulfills a long-desired fantasy of mine when it comes to crime stories. We talk about how the book came together, as well as its future, which we're hoping to be 30 issues at least. John's got a lot of great things to say about the industry, about being an artist, and about the future of Dead Rabbit, as well as his other good things. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. One word of warning, Skype had some fun with us while we were recording, so if it gets a little scratchy, please turn the volume up so that you can hear him a little more clearly. But good old Skype, every once in a while, it has to challenge us, and that's what it did a little bit during this interview. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to talk with John McCrae, accomplished, shall we say, artist, among other things, in comics, and has a great book that's out now called Dead Rabbit, working with Jerry Dugan. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And how are you doing today? Is it?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Wayne. Not too bad. I think it's Dugan.
Oh, Dugan,
as
okay.
Well, so.
Well, there's I have a 50-50 shot. I usually get it wrong, so that's why I try to ask ahead of time. So, but anyhow, why don't we just dive right in and start talking about the book, about Dead Rabbit, which is out here in the States from Image. And so I'm just kind of curious, how involved were you? I mean, what was it about this project that attracted you to it?
Well, I had met Jerry about 5 years ago at a convention in Dublin, run by the Big Bang comic shop in over there, which is a great comic shop. Mm-hmm. Buy your comics from the Big Bang, folks. And and I knew Jerry's work and wanted to work with him. So I just cornered him at the bar and just schmoozed him a bit. But luckily, he was a big fan of my stuff, too. So it was a mutual appreciation society. Okay. So we started talking about working on something, and Jerry sent me a bunch of different ideas over the years, and for one reason or another, they didn't kind of click until a couple of years ago when he had the idea for this thing called Dead Rabbit, which I sort of went, that's the one. That's the one I want to do. I had a bit of input in it, for instance, about the relationship between Martin and his wife, mm-hmm. that I wanted it to be a solid relationship, you know, where it's kind of the backbone of the comic. Mm-hmm. I think that's worked well for the book. And there were a couple of other little things that I had input on. But for the most part, it's Jerry writing and me drawing, okay. you know. And I mean, I designed the look of the character. Jerry had said he's wears a suit and he has a flat cap and a mask. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of and he's called Dead Rabbit. Mm-hmm. And off you go. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of took that and sort of threw everything at it and then sort of chiseled away at it until we had something a little bit simple but iconic looking, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Let me read the description of it, of the book. It says, back in the 90s, Dead Rabbit was a prolific Boston stick-up man and hoodlum until he took down one last big score and disappeared. Nobody ever discovered the truth. He retired to be with the love of his life. Now he's back in the mask to save her, but no one, not his wife, the mafia, or the cops, is happy he's out of retirement. And your name comes first. It's from John McCrae, the artist and co-creator of Mythic and Hitman, and Jerry Duggan, the writer of Analog and Deadpool, comes the action comedy drama tale of Martin Dobbs, a.k.a. Dead Rabbit, the man who says he's descended from one of the original gangs of New York City. And the first book was an oversized one, and that's been out. When this comes out, issue number two, I think November, I think it's the second week in November. I think this is going to, number seven, first Wednesday, actually, number seven. Number seven, uh-huh. That'll be issue two, and then issue three, I guess it's monthly after that. Is this an ongoing, sure. Is this ongoing, or is this a miniseries?
No, it's an ongoing book. Oh, wow. We've got a lot of stories we want to tell. Jerry's got a lot of things planned out. So hopefully, since Hitman, I haven't done a good solid run on a book since Hitman. That was 60 issues plus bits and bobs. And I've done a lot of stuff, some of it not really very high profile since then, but not anything with any sort of good long length to it. I was hoping Mythic, which came out a couple of years ago from Image, would be that book. But unfortunately, it didn't find its market. So it lasted 9 issues or something like that, which was, a nice chunk, and it's a nice looking trade. Mm-hmm. But I would like to do at least 30 issues, something like that. So we get a good set of books up on the shelf. If it's still successful by the time we get to issue 30, well, then maybe we'll keep going. But, I would like it to have a good run and not just be... 12 issues and then gone. I think there's a lot to say. So fingers crossed.
Okay, because you brought up your career, and I was looking through a couple of sites, and wow, you've done just about everything in comics. You're a writer at times, a penciler, and then inker at times, and a colorist, letterer, cover artist. It's hard to think of something you haven't done. You just haven't printed the paper.
I don't do much. I don't know much coloring. No, well, I suppose I used to fully paint comics back in the old days when that was still the vogue. When everybody was doing it, not just Sienkiewicz and Alex Ross. Mm-hmm. It was there were a lot of people painting stuff, and I did probably about 400 pages worth of comics for Fleetway. 2000 AD and Judge Dredd. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of painted stuff for them. So I suppose I have colored stuff as well, but. Mm-hmm. I just generally tend to try and stick to just the penciling and inking these days. And I like to do both. I don't like to just do one. I want the control and the finish. And a lot of the work I do, a lot of the finish is in the inks. So, that's where a lot of the style of my work comes through now is in the inking. So, that's a big part of it.
Good, but it's nice when somebody has a specific style is going to work. If you know that you're going to ink something that helps you, you can figure out what you want to do when you're creating the artwork. Does that help? Is that true?
Yeah. I put just enough into the pencils to stop me making too much of a mess of it when I ink. So that I don't have to use too much whiteout. I think it's more organic and you get a more fluid sort of line and a more sort of energetic sort of figure work and things like that. If you don't pencil everything right down to the wire and then go in and just trace it really, I think it's much more engaging. And it would kill me as well. If I was penciling like that, then I would want an inker. Because there's no, there's no joy in it for me then. Whereas the inking, I want to have something to give when it comes to the inking. Definitely. I think the inking's just as important as the penciling for my work at any rate.
That's interesting because it sounds like you're using pencil and paper as opposed to computers still.
Oh God, yes, absolutely. I'm a dinosaur. I'm a complete dinosaur. I'm a moron when it comes to computers. I've got Photoshop and a scanner, and I have to use them, because you have to send your stuff by email these days, right, or what have you. So, you know, I've got to scan the work in. And obviously, if you, I can use Photoshop a little bit so I can tidy things up. And it comes in useful for little tweaks and things. I often draw people's heads either too small or too big. And the old transform tool in Photoshop is an excellent tool for that, mm-hmm. to just sort that out. So it is.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. I have to be honest with you. Computers are supposed to be labor-saving devices, but they often aren't. So you may be better off just sticking to the paper and the pencil and making the good things happen that way. Especially,
I think so.
If that works for you too, I mean, you know, why change what works? Is my feeling.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would require so much time for me to get good, you know, as good enough to be able to make those labor-saving. You know, make it labor saving. I would have to put so much effort in that I would probably lose a year of work.
Oh my.
It would take me that long to get as good as, you know, you see these people now who, like somebody like Fiona Staples, who can pencil and ink and color, and the stuff is all like it's a complete package. You know, the coloring, you don't see where the pencils and the inks and the colors end. They all blend together, and it's a complete thing. So, but to get to that sort of ability would require so much effort on my part. And there's, I mean, I've got Mike Spicer coloring my stuff on Dead Rabbit, and he's brilliant. So why would I try to compete with Mike Spicer? I think, as Clint Eastwood once said, a man's got to know his limitations. So I think I'll stick to what I know and let guys like Mike Spicer and what have you, yeah, it sort of make me look good with their fantastic coloring.
Well, it does look good, I have to tell you. I'll get to that in a second. But there is another benefit to you doing the pages, and I've discovered this recently because I've been helping out with an indie comic. And a lot of people, there's one person, he does everything on the computer. There's no paper involved.
Mm.
And the bad news is he can't sell original pages.
Mm-hmm.
From the book, so you can still, if you want to, sell original pages, and that sometimes that's a nice little income if you can do that.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yep, I make a little bit of extra pocket money from my artwork, so you know, I wouldn't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. So it would seem sort of foolish for me to spend a year sort of not earning any money and practicing to learn how to do that, to then lose some more money by not having any original artwork to sell as well. So, yeah, I think I'll just stick with the old pencil and paper.
You've got this figured out, it sounds like to me. So that's good.
Oh, sure. It's only taken me 35 years. Absolutely. It's only taken me 35 years now. Just about got it figured out.
Well, it's good stuff. I when I was reading Dead Rabbit, I was paying particular attention to the art, and I was really intrigued by, it feels like it's a crime noir kind of style you're giving us, because of course the story lends itself to that. Did this flex your artist muscles to be able to go and do something a little different, or is this a style you're pretty familiar with? You've done a lot in the past.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, my style changes all the time, depending on the subject matter of the story. I try to bring something different that reflects what the story is all about. So if I'm doing a superhero book, it's cleaner and more clean cut and sparkly. And if I'm doing a horror story, then it's, the inking's much more grim and gritty and rough and round the edges. And for this book, which was a crime noir thing, and I mean, the Hitman to a degree was something along those lines, with superheroes thrown in, but my style has dramatically since then as well. I looked at the Harry was writing and I said, yeah, I want this to be a real noir feeling book. I want lots of heavy shadows and lots of just sort of moody atmospheric artwork, and just bring that all to the table to give it a particular feel and vibe. And I enjoyed doing that. I would be very bored if I stuck in one style for the rest of my life.
You were mentioning about the costume, if you want to refer to that, or the way he looks, about the fact that he has a suit and he's got the mask. And there's at the end of the book, there's a page where you talk about the mask. Do you want to talk about development of the mask? Because that's kind of what is the outstanding thing of this person's appearance. How did you come up with that? How did that develop?
Well, the whole sort of X's for eyes, you know, which is a very cartoony sort of thing. Like if you look at something like Gru the Wanderer, when Gru kills somebody, they, you know, the X's appear in the eyes and the little skull comes out. And I sort of thought that would be a nice feature. And I had a whole lot of other stuff thrown onto the mask as well. And as I looked at it, I sort of realized that I wanted it to be really clean and just simple, very, very simple, so that to give it an iconic sort of look, because I think I just paring everything down to the bare minimum is always a good idea. You know, cutting away all the chaff and just leaving yourself with the really salient points is a good thing with design. And really the eyes, the hat, I kept those little ear tags hanging off them as well. I'm not 100% sure why, they just felt right. It was just a matter of trimming away at it until I was left with exactly what I wanted, and that was just a very simple but hopefully kind of scary looking and moody looking character. Something that would translate very well in a noir sort of thing, where you can just chuck a lot of shadow over it and then put those two X's staring out of the darkness at you. That's what I was asking.
I'm interested that he wears a suit, because you know a lot of criminals don't wear suits. They always wear like a sweater or a jean or things like that. That was kind of an interesting choice for him.
Yeah, I think that was Jerry's idea, and I think it was to give him that sort of throwback to sort of noir sort of films, 50s. Yes, 40s, 50s stuff where everybody wore suits and the criminals wore suits. And so it's to give it that sort of vibe where you had him as the sort of very clean cut sort of guy, with a stylish, sleek suit. And then this crazy mask on top of it, doing all these horrendously violent things to people. There's a bit of a juxtaposition there in it, but also it gives him a very sleek profile. The suit looks, a nice sharp suit really looks good. And so that sort of idea of that sort of profile was appealing as well.
Now, what about the hat? I mean, I don't see a lot of people wear that kind of hat these days. Is this also like a crime noir setup for that hat?
Yeah. The hat, I've got to admit, the Duncher was, the flat cap thing was Jerry again. He said he wanted a flat cap. And his idea was that Dead Rabbit, if he pulled the mask off, he could slip it inside the hat. He could push it up inside the hat and keep the hat on. Whether or not we've done that is neither here nor there. But I was very dubious as to how that would work. I thought it might look a bit weird, but actually once I started drawing it, I went, oh no, this looks really cool. It actually gives him sort of quite an interesting and look, the suit, the hat, the mask, they come together really quite nicely, but in a sort of unusual way. I do see people wearing these flat caps. I think there's been actually a little bit of, I don't know about it in the States, but in the UK, there's been a bit of a sort of a comeback for those sort of, I guess that you could call them old dad hats or granddad hats or what have you. I see young people wearing them a lot more these days. So perhaps we're riding the crest of a new sort of wave of cool. I don't know. I'm so far out of the loop when it comes to cool that I have a friggin' clue. But anyway, it as far as a visual goes, it works. And I was surprised by that. So tip of the lid to Jerry on that one.
Well, it really works for me visually. I really like the way it looked. It has this, like I was saying, the crime noir feel that is so, not many people do it that day. But you know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever seen Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, sure.
They have a lot of this kind of stuff, people, the way that they dress is in that show, and I get a lot of that same vibe from there, and I love that. I love the fact that the show, even though they used phones and stuff like that, which was apparently ahead of the time, it still all worked together, and that's the way that your book does. He's driving a modern car, and he's still going around wearing a costume he wore back in the 90s, basically.
Sure.
And well, I was going to ask that. Are there any changes? Did he make any updates, or is this still the same costume exactly as he did in the 90s, or something new and different?
I think it's pretty much the same suit. I think Martin doesn't strike me as a guy who thinks that, once he's got a good thing going, mm-hmm. he kind of sticks with it. In fact, in the very first issue, in the second issue, he does exactly that, where they go back to he goes back to work, robbing banks, and pulls off one of his heists is, a heist he did back in the 90s. It's exactly the same bank, and they're going using the same route, and he figures it worked back then. It's been 25 years or whatever, 30 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to remember or be ready for it. Mm-hmm. So he does that again. And I don't think Martin's the kind of guy who would think I need to update my look. He's much more of a sort of a working class guy who wouldn't really consider that to be of any consequence, really. It worked back then, it should work now.
Yeah, that's what he does think.
And it probably does. Back in the 90s, I had a very, very, nobody messed with because he still comes along with that rep, and the suit has that rep to it,
Okay, so that's good. Now I'm fascinated too. He gets a real life job, and what real life job does he get? But it looks like he's working in a Walmart tile store. I got a huge kick out of that. And what's the best part to me, and Chris, this might have been a Jerryism, was that when he sees people buying certain things, it gets his attention because he knows what they're for.
Sure.
Was that, drawing Walmart, because Walmart's all bright and sunny and stuff like that as a book compared to the rest of the book. Did you do that intentionally to give that like a contrast as opposed to, do something a little different?
Yes, it did. The Walmart section, again, if you look at it, it's colored very brightly, and I draw it much more open. There's not a great deal of cast shadows, particularly except when the villain of the piece shows up, and then he's quite sort of heavily shadowed. But for the most part, it's kind of bright and cheery but of course, Walmart is not really bright and cheery at all. Not for the people working there at all.
No.
So that was your contrast there. He realizes he's the one getting robbed when he's working for Walmart, which is a bit of a strange situation for him. He's usually the guy doing the robbing and not being robbed. So it's a tough pill to swallow for Martin in this case, and but he's doing it because his wife, he has retired, he's promised his wife he's retired, and he doesn't want to go back on that, but of course the fates conspire against him.
I want to touch
as they often do.
Reality gets in the way of stuff like that a lot of the time. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about, because the Walmart thing addresses something you said about Martin in the earlier, about the fact that he's kind of he likes things that are sort of repetitive or the same, or he doesn't have to change stuff. And if you work at Walmart, there's very little change that actually happens from decade inside of there. So this kind of speaks to his personality as well. That's a Jerry thing, I realize, but I was just so fascinated when I saw that. And then when you talked about that, it came to mind about that. So I love when the art and the plot and everything all ties together so nicely, and that's what this book does a lot. You guys have integrated all these things together in such a way that it really makes it a really interesting read. I really like that.
Cheers. Thank you. I must say I'm really enjoying working with Jerry. He really does bring a sort of a fresh voice to the table, as far as I'm aware. I think that his characters, the crux of the whole story is the relationship between Martin and his wife Megan, and the character moments and the character beats that he writes between them are so good that, you know, I could happily just read a story about Martin and his wife without Dead Rabbit. But, you know, obviously that might not sell quite as well. But kudos to Jerry. I mean, he really has got a great voice and gives people really distinctive and interesting voices. It's just up to me, because he's not making my life easy. There's a lot of very speaky stuff. There's a lot of very speaky stuff, and there's a lot of quite tricky stuff. You know, Megan is in a wheelchair, and as anybody knows who draws comics, drawing wheelchairs is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And he also throws in something in issue 2, which was almost as hard to draw as well. Mm-hmm. So he's giving me a lot to work. You know, it's hard work, but it's really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But the emotional stuff that I'm putting in or getting to put in with between Martin and Megan is really enjoyable too. Getting all that, the facial emotion and the body language across, so that I'm telling the story so that you can see the sort of the sort of tension and the love between them, but the tension due to what Martin is getting up to again. Just all that good, fun stuff is I'm really enjoying.
You know, I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to bring it right up about the facial expressions. I mean, some artists are good at action, and some people are good at facial expressions and stuff. I always consider those the two linchpins of art in a story. And I have to say, the facial expressions, and I think that's a strength of yours always when I see your stuff, but in this book in particular, I really thought that those just shone. I felt like I was in the room when Martin's talking to his wife. You feel like you're there looking at how they express. Like when she points, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but when she makes an observation that he does not want her to make, and his reaction, his face turns up and away from her, like, oh, I've been caught, kind of a look. And then her face when she's really unhappy is, I mean, I can hear the volume in her voice going when I see that. And I think that's just just so well done in this book. It's just, you know, I like I said, I feel like I'm there. I'm sitting in the room watching these guys talk and do stuff. It's just so well done. It's so realistic to me.
Well, thank you. Well, I've done my job then. I really appreciate that. I'm sort of choking up a wee bit, because you've paid me the best compliment, really. So thank you very much for that, Wayne. But that's it. I want the action to be really dynamic and exciting, but at the same time, the quiet moments, you've got to bring something to them. And if you fail with that, then it really, you're left with a hollow sort of story. You've got to bring it all there, haven't you, I suppose? And that's the thing about being a comic artist. You've got to be able to draw everything. Mm-hmm. It's one of those. You've got to be able to draw a wheelchair, and you've got to be able to draw quiet moments between the two people, and you've got to be able to draw the action, excitement, and occasionally you've got to draw horses and things as well. Oh, hopefully those are going to be appearing in Dead Rabbit, because Jerry's making my life hard enough as it is, but thank you.
So now we've got issue two. Is it going to be out soon if it isn't already? And then
it's
November 7th here in the States. Mm-hmm. Does that get released over in the UK at the same time as well?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think it's parody. We get them on the same day. Yeah, absolutely. It's like movie releases now. In the old days, we used to get our comics and our movies sort of quite a while after you guys. But now we get them all at the same sort of time. Sometimes we even get them before you. So which is a bit of a shocker. I know that. I think, was it Captain America Winter Soldier? We got it a week or so before you guys, wow. Something like that. So, yeah, sometimes we're even throwing a bone, you know. So, mm-hmm. But, the comic comes out at the same time. And then the first arc of Dead Rabbit is 4 issues, which runs to January, I believe. And then we trade up. And that's the other thing I love about working for Image, is that they give you those skip months.
Yes.
Where I can catch up, because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm, you know, it's taking me a lot of time to draw an issue. So those skip months are my sort of savior, where it allows me to catch up a bit and keep the book on schedule. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the thing about working in comics these days. There are so many good comics about. There's so much good product, just so much product as well, that that you can't afford to screw up at any point. You've got to have really good writing, really good art. You've got to have really cracking coloring. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the book's got to look good, got to have great character. But it's also got to come out regularly. It's got to come out on scale. They're my savior. Because I'm working on issue 5 now, which is the first part of the second arc. So which would be sometime, that would be coming out in, I think, March, maybe April. So I'm quite far ahead of the game, but me because of those skip months. I'd be sweating a whole lot more if it wasn't.
Well, I got to ask you something, because I was looking at the description for issue 3. You were talking about how the wheelchair is tough to draw. It says in the description of issue 3, this issue guest stars Laughing Gas, an MRI machine, some pointy surgical instruments, the soft tissue of some bad men, and a depressed mafia soldier. MRI machine. That's got to be that's not one of the more common things you see in a comic.
No. Admittedly, I had to Google it. There's no doubt about it. I didn't just make it up out of my head. The whole laughing gas sequence was a really good fun to do, but really tricky because it you'll see when you read it. I had to. There's a lot of quite nasty violence, but everybody's smiling all the way through it. They're all laughing, but doing horrible things to each other. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard to draw people with big cheery smiles on their faces but having terrible things done to them and doing terrible things to other people. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge, probably a first for me on that front as well. So, like I said, Jerry likes to throw as much interesting and not as stuff in as possible. And I think this first arc, as it goes, gets stronger. First issue is good, I think. So, hopefully the first 4 issues, the first arc will be a really strong book. I think it is. I reread it just after I'd finished it. I went through it all again and read it again, and I thought it was a cracking read, and it really pushed all the right buttons, and for me certainly, as far as a comic goes. It had good characters, sort of real strong emotional stuff in there, and some cracking action, and a nice sort of amount of bones being broken. So all things that I enjoy in a movie and a comic, should I say.
Now I got to ask you, because there's the mask portrays the dead rabbit part, but why is he called Dead Rabbit? I mean, I don't know why criminals would call themselves a dead rabbit. Was that something Jerry came up with, or was that your idea? How did that happen?
Yeah, a bit of both of us. We sort of cracked our heads together and came up with it. But the idea is that the Dead Rabbits were one of the Irish gangs of New York, probably the most violent one and the most feared gang. And so his shtick, whether it's true or not, is debatable. But his shtick is that he is descended from one of the leader of the Dead Rabbits. And so he's got the DNA to be a complete badass. So that's his shtick, unnerving people so that they think tough. That's the whole point of it. There was so much back and forth between us, but it's a nice little extra angle to the whole thing that I think makes it just a little bit more interesting, that little bit of historical background to him as well. You've got his, and that gives us a lot of other things to investigate as the book goes on, because of course we've got all his past. There's all the potential stories of his past in the 90s when he was at his height, and then there's all the stories of the now. Whether or not we will or not is, well, we shall see. But that gives us that really nice sort of background that we can play on and pick things from to spin stories out of. So yeah, hopefully it makes him a really nicely rounded character. But yeah, the badassness of being descended from that is what that's all about.
Cool. Now, of course, I fear for the wife in this book, because, you know, she's kind of what grounds Milton when it comes. And so I, you know, if you take her out of the picture, which is because, you know, she's in a wheelchair, she may not be the healthiest, obviously. If you take her out of the picture, there's not much that's going to keep him from the life of crime that he had done before. And so I fear for her in that sense, because I like that character. I mean, she's kind of a fuss, but
we should see. We should see. I can't. That would be terrible spoilers.
Oh no! Don't spoil that. No.
But I like her too. So I'm hoping she doesn't go anywhere. You know. And that's the thing. As far as a solid sort of relationship like that in the book, I don't know how many there are, how many comics there are with this sort of husband and wife who've been together for so long and still, you know, sort of really care about each other that deeply. I think it's sort of one of its unique selling points, mm-hmm. is that it has that mm-hmm. behind it. So I'm hoping that Megan isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I cannot say for sure.
Well, it's a wonderful book. There's lots of good stuff in it. I love crime stories myself anyway. So I was sold the moment I heard this was about a criminal who had disappeared for a while. I always wonder what happens when somebody vanishes. Do they go in the service? What happens to them? And this book actually has a really strong explanation for why he drops out of sight and then comes back again. I think that's really great. Sure. As far as crime stories go, I that was something I've always wanted to see. So I was really glad to see that in this book.
Okay, thank you. Cheers, Wayne.
Dead Rabbit number one is out. Number two is either out or on the way. And number three is not far away. That's going to be coming out on December 5. So it's not far away.
Don't terrify me, man. I don't want to think it's coming out that quickly. Good Lord.
Well, that's what it says. I mean, we'll see what happens, but that's what it says. And just in time for Christmas, of course, which is a good time to buy.
And it is a Christmas story. Of that's course, this, the first arc is a Christmas story, too. Mm-hmm. So just in time for Christmas as well, right. Yes. Very good. Absolutely.
Great planning on you guys' part. You planned that out perfectly.
No, I don't think so. pure bloody luck there. So.
Well, it's a terrific book. I highly recommend it. And John, keep up the wonderful stuff. And I look forward to more stuff from you in the future. Hopefully we get 30 issues of Dead Rabbit. I'd like to see that, because it's one of those stories that I think can go on for a while and keep those characters alive in our imaginations and stuff. So you're doing a wonderful job.
Cheers. Thank you, Wayne. Much appreciated.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's a wrap for this episode. Until next time, keep reading your comics.